Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Micro Macro News for Friday, the 27th of September, 2024. Do you know what? My routine is I come into my office, which is in the garden there, and I do everything stocks related. In the background on my TV is CNBC usually. I switch between that and Bloomberg, mostly CNBC, because they do a European market edition in the morning, and then they hand over to America from the morning there. And I was typing away on my computer, and I heard a very recognisable voice on the TV. I thought, what? Who's this? So I turned around, and there, being interviewed by Andrew Ross Sorkin, which is one of the journalists on CNBC, is also, I think, he had a hand in Billions. You know, the TV show Billions? Anyway, it was none other than Keir Starmer. Being interviewed, full-blown interview with, it's on the website somewhere, and Keir was talking about the new Labour policy for growth and all that stuff, and Andrew said, it's funny, though, having, a Labour Party in the UK associated with, wealth creation and business and growth. And Keir was saying that's what we're all about, to improve infrastructure, public services. We want to create wealth and create growth and all that stuff. And I thought, okay, this is quite good. He's out there, and Keir saying, as part of this, American trip he went on, he had a sort of big breakfast with CEOs of large companies, very big companies in the US, looking for investment and saying, Britain is open for business. I thought, this is good. This is good. This is Keir's get out there. He's proactive. He's pitching. He's the CEO of UK PLC and he's pitching for business. This is very good. And he gave an example. He said, he talked about Blackstone. Blackstone, which I don't know if you know about Blackstone, it's a huge company. It has more than $1 trillion in total assets under management. It's a big player, very big player in the world. And he talked about their £10 billion investment in a new artificial intelligence data centre, and it will create 4,000 jobs. And this, I don't know if you know about the site. The site is the same site, in Blyth in Northumberland. It was going to become British Vault. Do you remember that? And the funding fell through. It was going to be a battery factory, electric car battery factory. And he said that investment showed that the UK was open for business. And he said it's a huge vote in confidence for the UK and proved Britain was a major player on the global stage. It's going to be one of the biggest data centres, AI data centres, in Europe. I thought, yes, at last. And then I did some more research on this. I looked it up there. Turns out the plan for the data centre was first revealed in April, before the general election. I said, Keir, that's not down to you or Rachel Reeves. That was, when did they buy this? They bought it, just after the British Vault went through, which is way before the general election. But at least he's getting out there, and pitching to big business, hoping for inward investment. But still, it brings me back to my phrase, Labour. Show us your growth policies. Get them out. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Go on. Hey. Show us your growth policies, please. Because as yet, we haven't seen. I know it takes a bit of time, But as yet, what they've been doing so far seems like anti-growth. By the way, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating micro-cap stocks. That is companies with a market capitalization below 100 million market cap. Why? That's what I focus on, because they're the best returners of money. 60% of the best performers over 3 to 5 years are revenue-generating stocks, profitable companies. So they're not these pre-revenue loss makers, okay? I mean, I'm talking a sustainable rise over 3 to 5 years. To receive my free tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. And just by signing up to this list, give you an added benefit. Listen to the end of the podcast to find out. Okay, let's have a quick look at the markets. I thought I'd put this at the top here because we're more than halfway through the day. FTSE 100, it's up a fifth of 1% to 8303. FTSE 250, it's up 0.6% to 21140. Let's see what that is. Is it breaking new highs? Not far off new highs. New highs are like 21,600. Is it 21,100? Is that too bad? The FTSE small cap, up again, 0.6% to 6951. That is really near recent highs. 6,700 is near highs, and it's near there. 6,950 is that. So 50 points away from that. Come on, the AMOL share. What's happening? It's got, well, is it showing up 0.17%, but it's a 7.42. It's been sticking around at 7.44, but it's, God, there's a lot of dogs on AIM, though. It's dragging it all down. All those resource companies and, you know, biotech stocks that never can do anything, that just investors believe is going to make them rich. They don't. Story stocks will make you poor. Honestly, you've got to trade them and get out of them. Do you want to do that? Anyway, and do you know what? On the AIM all-share chart, we've got this almost death cross happening, which is the 50-day moving average crossing down over the 200-day moving average. That's not very good. Okay, commodities. Brent crude, it's down again. It did have a little rally in the week, back up to like $76 a barrel, but now it's back down to $71 a barrel, which, like I said, is close to a multi-year low. It recently hit, a low of $69 a barrel, which was a multi-year low. Hadn't hit that level since December 2021. Copper, it has a little bounce yesterday from Chinese stimulus, which I'll talk about in a bit, but it has risen yesterday by over 3%, copper. Let me put it on the ton, because it's on the pound here. I don't know how to save it as ton. So it is back above $10,000 a ton, and it did dip down recently to around about $8,600 a ton. What else is there? Gold! Wow! Gold is having a little bit of a down day. Not much of a down day. It's down 0.18%, but still near all-time highs. In fact, I spoke to John Mayer, mining analyst and commodity expert, recently, and he was saying pretty much you've got the Chinese buying it. You've got, the Saudis buying gold. Because if the dollar's getting weaker and you want a hard asset that's going to appreciate, gold is your play. And like I say, I see this going to $3,000. I don't know why I say that, but the momentum is very strong here. And with currencies getting weaker and devaluing it a little bit, then I think, you know, hard assets are going to do very well, especially gold. Okay, let's look at some macro news. Number one, Treasury is reconsidering Labour plan for non-dom tax status. This is from BBC Business. Do you remember the flack they gave Rishi Sunak over this? In fact, his wife now is paying all tax in UK, isn't she? The Treasury is reconsidering parts of Labour's manifesto plan for a non-domicile tax status over worries that the reforms will bring in less money than expected. Some people are saying it may even cost you money. So non-dom describes a UK resident whose permanent home or domicile for tax purposes is outside the UK. So they only have to pay money tax on the money they earn in the UK. In March 2024, the then Conservative Chancellor Jeremy Hunt announced the non-dom tax regime would be phased out. However, he also introduced concessions which are designed to reduce the incentive for wealthy foreigners with permanent home abroad to emigrate. Well, while no specific policy has been put to the OBR as part of the process for next month's budget, Treasury officials acknowledge that the plans by Labour to scrap two concessions made by the previous government might not raise the $1 billion they thought it would, or indeed, any money at all. It won't. And I keep saying this, it's common sense. It's almost as, you know, the policy of envy, the politics of envy. And almost like, you know, you've got to be seen to be punishing the wealthy. But by doing that, you punish your own economy. There's people who say, oh, good riddance, bye-bye, off you go then. You know, who was that guy recently? Charlie, Pimlico Plumbers, who's off. The amount of, you know, super wealthy people leaving is growing. And I don't think people understand they are wealth creators. If you want, it's better having their tax money and having them create jobs, because they do pay more tax. And in fact, oddly, if you look at the, listen to a very good podcast recently called, from Paul Johnson, IFS, Institute of Fiscal Studies. And he's saying that the Tories were a lot harder on the wealthy than a lot of people give credit for. Anyway, they were saying that these people over time have paid a huge amount of tax into the system. Not only individually, but indirectly, because they employ lots of people. And when they employ a lot of people, those people pay tax. So it's best to have these inside your country paying tax and outside. And of course, if you are a super wealthy person and you have a house like in the UK or in Monaco, and say in the States somewhere, and maybe even the West Indies, you can choose to live where you want. Now, if you've got a government coming in and seem to be punishing you, you just move your tax status somewhere else. Simple as that. It just seems very popular, doesn't it, for Labour to sort of seem to be harsh on wealthy people, when in fact you're not looking, you know, at what they create for society as a whole. Sometimes it's worth just saying, listen, multi-billionaires, come here, live here tax-free, but you have to set up a business that employs at least 1,000 people. And yes, and those people will be taxed, but they'll also be better off. They're applying for those jobs because it'll help their wealth, it'll improve their standard of living. It's worth doing that, isn't it? There's no point just punishing wealthy people for the sake of it, because you can. It doesn't make financial sense. And if you are, you know, a government of growth, you welcome wealth creators. You don't punish them or banish them with policy. It's ridiculous. Story number two. UK retail sales grow at the fastest pace since May. What's a surprise? This is CBI. This is from Reuters. British retailers reported the fastest growth in sales since May this month and see further modest expansion for October, the Confederation of British Industry said, in a contrast to other more downbeat surveys of consumer sentiment. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? They have been quite downbeat. The CBI said its monthly retail sales balance rose to +4 in September from -27 in August, while retailers' expectations for the month ahead rose from -17 to +5, their strongest since April 2023. However, retailers judge that sales continue to remain below normal for the time of year. Story number three. Chinese stocks rallied to 16-year highs. Yeah, 16-year highs. And this was a very fast rally. It was a V-shaped recovery, which, you know, often have pullbacks. Lifting global sentiment. This is from The Guardian Business. Chinese stocks had their best week in many years, boosted by various stimulus measures announced this week by Beijing government and the People's Bank of China. The Shanghai Composite Index climbed 2.9%, logging its biggest weekly gain since 2008. That's quite significant, that did, isn't it? Up nearly 10%, while China's CSI 300 jumped by 4.5% and its best week since November 2008, ending 15.7% higher. It has been hammered. That's a big jump. And when you see jumps like that, it is a change in fortune. It's almost like when you see a tide change, you know? The tide starts going out, and then all of a sudden it gets to the zenith, the peak there, and a big wave comes in. And then successive waves are a bit smaller. Then you get some more bigger ones coming in. So it's almost like that with charts. I do believe in waves and charts and oscillation and stuff like that, because not just randomly, because that's the way we all work how are you listening to me right now? Sound waves. You know, the tides affect my waves. And so you get that. You get one big one, and then it falls back, and you get some more big ones. So I do think this is quite significant, this stimulus. And the Chinese said as well, they'll do what it takes. They can do more. And I didn't realize this, but billionaire investor David Tepper said they never do this. They never plan out what they're going to do normally. And he said, I was watching CNBC yesterday, he said he's buying more of everything related to China after Beijing rolled out sweeping stimulus measures. He said, I thought that what the Fed did last week would lead to China easing. I didn't know that they were going to bring out the big guns like they did. He said, I was watching the interview. So what are you buying? Everything China related, which is, of course, very good for commodities and resource stocks, maybe. But I do think this is good because, you know, China and America are the two biggest economies in the world. And when one of the, imagine like jet engines on a plane. If one of those jet engines is stuttering, the plane's not going to go as fast as it can. America has been powering away quite nicely, but still, you know, its other engine's not working. Now, you get China fired up, get that other jet engine going, then you really take off and hit top speed. Anyway, okay, micro news. Not much round today. I do feel like at the moment, I don't know what's happening here, but it's maybe brokers, nomads, whatever they are, tend to work from Tuesday to Thursday. Thursday seems to be a very good day in the markets generally. I think it was a Thursday that they announced the vaccine for COVID, you know, for coronavirus. And it just seems to be recently, Thursday's generally a good day. Anyway, first up, ASA International Group. Now, I'm looking at revenue growth, profit before tax growth, and cash growth. Okay, if you've got those on all three, they're a winner. If not, if they're all going down, they're a loser. Having said that, with this one, it's a bit different. It's one of the world's largest international microfinance institutions. Please announce its half-year results. So they do lend to countries and businesses in Pakistan, the Philippines, Ghana, Tanzania, Kenya, and Myanmar. I didn't look at their debt or defaults, but you've got to imagine it's quite high from those types of countries. I'm not,
we're racist.
No, you know what I'm saying? Developing world. They have more struggles financially than anywhere else, surely. Anyway, market cap, $55 million. Profit before tax of $28.3 million versus $13.8 million. Up a lot. More than double there. And their total equity increased to $81.1 million versus $69.2 million. So that's looking good. Let's have a look at the chart here. Is it rising? It is. It's up 23% a day. And you've got to think, if they're in the Far East, which they are, that stimulus may help them in some way, or just sentiment-wise. Okay, next. Invinity Energy Systems. If that was the good just then, this is maybe the ugly. Okay, there's a bad coming. This is maybe the ugly. In fact, they could be in a worse position, Invinity, because they've got plenty of cash. A leading global manufacturer of utility-grade energy storage announces half-year results to the 30th of June. Company is pleased to announce the sale of a 1.2-megawatt Mistral battery system to Gamesa Electric, who will integrate the battery alongside solar and wind generation at the site in Zaragoza, Spain. Now, this is their new generation grade storage, vanadium lithium storage, the Mistral. So it's the first sale, I think. Now, revenue for the half year, get this, 1.6 million, okay, versus last year, 14.8.
Down.
Loss before income tax, 11.1 million versus 13.3 million. But cash, 46.2 million versus 12.9. Now, they did do a £57.4 million fundraise in May, and it was cornerstoned by a £25 million investment from the UK Infrastructure Bank, which is a good job they've got that. But the CEO has stepped down. New CEO, Jonathan Marin, has come in. And he said, I've spent much of the past 3 weeks since my appointment as CEO meeting with our staff, customers and investors, and it's clear there's enormous opportunity from our business. For our business, sorry, not from. This was reinforced this week, doing many conversations with potential customers at the Solar and Storage Live Trade Show in Birmingham, where they see Invinity as the natural choice when considering the future role for LDES, which is long duration, I think, energy storage, will play in the UK and the implementation of long-awaited LDES cap and floor mechanism. There will be inevitable challenges to overcome as well, but I'm reassured that the launch of our next generation product remains on track, further underlined by the sale announced today, which we anticipate will be the first Mistral product to ship. I do hope it goes well. It does seem to me like we do need, you know, grid-scale storage. I was talking to Nigel Pocklington, who's the CEO of Good Energy, and he was saying, surprisingly, at night time, normally you generate quite a bit of electricity from wind because it's colder. The wind tends to blow more, you know, I don't know why. But of course, you're not going to use it at night. So you do need this storage facility. Now, there's a choice between lithium iron batteries, which are flammable, but they do work very well, and they are cheaper than vanadium flow, but they don't last as long. And you've got to be thinking, if we're heading towards this, where, you know, environment, society, where largely most of our energy is derived from renewables, it's got to be stored. But is that still far off yet? You know, I did like this company. I did buy some of these a long time back, a while back, but I thought, I was looking at the forecasts, and it's a hugely capital-intensive business. And that's the problem. In this environment, it's not easy. Well, I say it's not easy to raise money. They just have raised a trunk load of money. They raise exactly the same as their market cap, pretty much, which is very impressive, and not a huge discount. So they've got the cash. But the trouble is, I'm just looking at the forecast just now, and they're expected to achieve 1 million of EBITDA profit, just 1 million, in 2026 on 100 million of revenue. So the EBITDA margins are 1%, pretty much. And that's in 20, of course, it's going to improve. But I assume they have the cash to get there, but it just seems this year, the letdown in revenue for the first half just seems like it was almost more of a pipe dream, this business, than previously I thought. It probably, I mean, you know, as I said, these are big, chunky sort of projects. And of course, one or two or three can change the revenue a lot. If you miss out on one and delay on one, it's a huge change and it's very capital intensive. So it's a big winner or a big loser, this one. It's quite a high risk stock, but I think, you know, it could do very well. Like I said, be aware, capital intensive. They've got the cash. The big worry is cash. They have cash. And where's the market cap right now? Let's have a look. Invinity is up like 4% a day, but their market cap is around about, 38 million market caps. They've got more cash than cap. Having said that, the cash burn levels they're on, I'm not sure they do. Maybe equal now. What did they have? 46 in June, July, August, September. Maybe they have. They've burned a bit of that. Maybe cap and cash is equal. Anyway, listen, I'm banging on. Next. This is bad, you know. Physiomics, PYC, a leading mathematical modelling and data science company supporting the development of new therapeutics and personalised medicine solutions. This company, in my mind, is too small to scale. It should not be listed. This is the full year results to the 30th of June, okay? Market cap of 1.2 million. Total income, revenue and grant income decreased to 570,000 from £605,000. Down. Loss before tax, 668,000 versus 572. That's gone up, the loss. They had cash year end of 191K versus 416K. Okay, he was panicking, but they did do a fundraise post-period. Gross proceeds were 406K. And it just too, the contract wins are too small. And it's just, like I said, I don't know the price of being listed, but the associated costs of being listed on AIM, you know, it's not less than 200,000, probably close to 300,000, maybe, with everything at Nomads and all that stuff. And I'm just thinking, this, you know, that would be a cost this company could remove if they weren't listed. And of course, if they weren't listed, though, they may not access the cash or raising money, so they may go bust. But that just shows it's not a viable business, isn't it? Anyway, Physiomics, PYC, I'd say avoid. It's one of those companies, though, you know, because it's such a tiny market cap, and it's very illiquid. A few trades pushes the share price up. You can't buy in any volume. If you do, you get trapped into it because it's so small. They're up 3.84% today at 0.65 pence. They were down when I last looked. They can be up and down like the wind change there. And lastly, never heard of this company before. Roebuck Food Group, RFG is ticker, pleased to announce interim results. They said, during the period, the management have completed a fundamental strategic review of the business. As part of this new vision, oh, they have a vision, management have completed the divestment of two subsidiaries, Townview Foods and Cantwell's Court Farm, which no longer considered appropriate to the direction the management wanted to take the business. Moorhead and McGavin, a company which we acquired in December 2023, which is focused on plant-based opportunity, is growing strongly. Sales were up 22% in the first half of the year compared with the prior year. Forrow Food Solutions, our cork-based sourcing business, comprised of two parts, the sourcing business, which engages primarily with the food services and food manufacturing segments of the food market, and a new addition, which engages primarily with retail. Anyway, they say net debt stood at 100 grand at the end of the year. Their market cap about 7.8 million. Revenues 5.9 million versus 1.67. Up! So I assume that's from the sale of these companies, maybe. Proceeds from one sale was 1.1. I don't know, so maybe it is growing. A loss on continuing activities before taxation of 325K versus 337K. Now, their cash has gone down from 1 million to 51K. What? So, that's a little worrying. Do they have any... looking at their borrowings, 28K, 163 on the current... Sorry, I'm yawning. So I suggest financing may be an issue there. But anyway, they have no volume today on the interim results. No volume. And it's non-mover. 15.8 pence is the thing. So I'm not the only one not to have heard of that company. It's like, you know, no one's traded it, which is very unusual on a results day not to be traded. You know, sometimes, you know, results days are treated like a liquidity event for companies. So people just sell to get out, you know, so because they can, because they understand the volumes going to go up on a results day. And that hasn't happened there. That's it. Anyway, I hope you have a nice weekend. Hope the weather's not too bad where you are. We've gone through the entire season. It's now sunny here. Earlier on, it was raining, and it's cold. Do you know, at the start of this week, on the weekend, I was watching the weather forecast, and they said, right, it was Carol Kirkwood, I think his name is, the Scottish lady. Right, it's going to be very rainy the first 3 days of the week. Storms across the UK, floods, okay, and then it'll get colder, very cold by the weekend. I thought, that's nice, that's something to look forward to. But it's actually sunshine here. It's a bit cooler though. That's it. Thanks for listening. To receive my tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up to this list means you qualify for 20% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. Members' benefits include early access to the share tips, access to live weekly webinars where multiple stock ideas are analysed and discussed, access to the microcap lib, which I now have so much faith in, I'm investing £1,000 into the top 10 companies of this league. And I'm quite confident it'll outperform most funds, definitely the AIM All Share. But anyway, if you want access to that, this is a league where profitable microcap companies are analysed and colour-coded and scored, then ranked on 20 different metrics. Also, a free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing. By the way, I signed off yesterday, very exciting, on the book cover. A couple of days before, on the actual print inside. Never done this before. very exciting seeing my face on the front cover of a book. No, in fact, my face is not on the front cover. I wouldn't, you know, bestow that on anyone. That's funny. My mind's in a little tiny thumbnail on the back cover. But, yeah, it looks very nice. So I saw the cover, the jacket cover yesterday. So very exciting. Access to view my holdings, which I update when I make any new transaction. Access to educational videos on fundamental and technical analysis, plus portfolio management, one of the most important things about investing. Access to the chat group and sharepickers.com/tips. I don't know why I said a hand there. I don't know. Thanks very much. Speak you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are no such thing as a fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are no such thing as a fish.